If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to just read one verse here in this passage, and we'll probably be looking at some others and many other verses that we'll be calling attention to. But primarily tonight in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, when you think of the fourth chapter of this book, we think many times of the statements that the Apostle Paul made concerning his ready to depart. He tells Timothy to preach the Word of God. He tells him to be instant, in season. And then he says, the time of my departure is at hand. And he was, I believe, looking forward to that day. But when you come to verse number 10, he gives us a sad statement. Maybe it's one of the saddest statements of all the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote. He is talking about his leaving this world. Paul is talking about the faithfulness that he has had concerning that he's fought a good fight, he's finished his course, and then looking forward to the blessing and the crown of righteousness that the Lord would give him. And then he tells Timothy in verse 9, says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed into Thessalonica, Croesus to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." The verse here, verse number 9, he instructs and encourages this young preacher, Timothy, to come to him. Now, I have to remember, Paul's in his last days. He's in his last moments. It's not going to be too long before the guillotine falls and Paul will be ushered into the very presence of the Lord. And he's not worried about that. He's not worried about that process of dying. And he's not worried about the Roman government that's going to execute him, because Paul knew already that he was there for a purpose and for a reason. The Lord had told him more than one time that he had to go to Rome and these things had to befall him. And so Paul now is at that position of life that he knows it's about over. And he realizes that there's nothing else that he can do because he has finished the course that God gave him. And so when we can come down to the end of life and we say we have finished, and the course that the Lord has presented to us, and we have done all the things that God wants us to do, we can leave this world with a peace of heart and a peace of mind of knowing task completed, job finished. But he tells us here that there's a problem in his last moments. He says, "Come to me shortly, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now those are very sad statements from a man that's dying, a man that is drawing his last breath in those last days, that he realizes that one of his co-workers, one of his friends, one of those that had been with him on numerous occasions and had traveled with him in the group of Paul, and he had Luke with him and had different ones that traveled with him. We would sort of compare it to an evangelistic team. There's more than just Paul involved in the ministry of Paul. There were many people that were involved in his work. And here's one that has been with him all through these different difficulties, and all of a sudden Demas is no longer to be found. A sad commentary upon the life of Demas. The Scripture gives us this fellow laborer that had been a personal friend of the Apostle Paul. He chose to leave Paul, and he chose because of his love to a world more than he had a love to his Lord. And Paul, I believe, is concerned about that. He's bothered about that. He mentions it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the world that Timothy lived in and the world that Paul lived in is so very different than where we live and the way that we live in many, many aspects, but in certain things is just like where we live. I'm sure all of us can think of people that have departed and have left this, left different ministries and left the Lord because they loved the things the world had to offer them. Now, I'd be the first to admit, and I believe all of us would understand, that the world out there has a lot to offer. It has the bright lights. It has the philosophy of doing good and making money, and and progressing and going up the ladder of success, and all of those things are out there. But to leave the work of the Lord in order to get that shows a flaw in the life of this man named Demas. And it's also a flaw in those people that we know that no longer serve the Lord. Because I believe you can do the things that the world has for you, and you can prosper, and you can have the things that God gives you, and still love Him, and still work for Him, and still serve Him. You don't have to choose one or the other, but so many people can only do one thing. But we find here that this man Demas had the attraction of the world had pulled him away. The Bible doesn't say anything about him much beforehand. Doesn't say anything afterward. It just tells us here that Demas has left Paul's group and he's forsaken. And Paul took it personally. He said, he's forsaken me. And he's forsaken the work. He's forsaken the things that we've worked for. And he says he's done this having loved this present world. Now the scripture here doesn't tell us what allured Demas away. The scripture doesn't tell us how long it took. The Bible doesn't tell us the steps. And by the way, there are many steps that are followed so many times that it usually doesn't happen overnight. It's little by little that the devil comes into us and comes into our life and presents things to us. And all of a sudden we're engulfed in that and we're out of the will of God and out of the work of the Lord. So the scripture doesn't give us any details. It just brings us to the last thing that took place in Demas' life for the Lord. And he'd forsaken the Apostle Paul. He'd forsaken the work of God. And he did that because he loved this present world. Tonight I want us to sort of key in those three words. This present world. The present world of the Apostle Paul is much different than the present world in which we live. They did not have all the things that we have, and we certainly do not have many things that they had at their disposal also. But this present world is the world in which we live at any given time. At any given moment, this world is before us. Now, I'm not talking about the earth. I'm not talking about the world as a world that has people. But I'm talking about the world as a system. It's a system of belief, it's a system of works, it's a system of action, it's a system that brings about certain things in our life. And this phrase, this present world, just for a few moments tonight, that I want us to look at and consider the primarily three things. We'll not be here a long time, and just looking at these three simple things about this present world. First of all, the leadership of this present world has never changed. Now we have gone down through history and through time, and there's been many leaders in this world. There have been some great leaders. There have been some godly leaders. There have been some that have done well. There have been some that have progressed, and there have been some that even propagated the gospel. And as we looked the Sunday night about some of the leadership of our country in days gone by. One of the presidents was even preaching at different times. So there's been many good leaders in this world, and there's been many bad leaders. There's been many that have gripped the minds and the thought processes of people and literally put them into bondage and brought them down to defeat because of their ungodliness. But the present world in which we live has always had the same leadership. It has always been the one that is before us. And he raised his head in the Garden of Eden, and that serpent that beguiled Eve, that serpent that came and voiced his voice against God, is the same leadership that we have tonight in this present world in which we live, and he is none other than the Wicked One. It is a political leadership. The Lord identified this leadership as this present world. In the book of John, three times he uses the phrase, the prince of this world. And so there's a prince of this world. There's a leader of this world that portrays and gives his ways and thoughts and has his ideas given to a world that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ. And so their minds are open to the discernment that is wicked, and their minds are open unto the things of the world. And so we find that the Lord talks about the prince of this world. He is that leadership that is so influential upon the lives of people that are lost. And by the way, he's influential upon the lives of people that are saved. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 30, it says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." John 16:11, the scripture says, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So we know that the leader that we're talking about is none other than Satan. He controls the workings of the political systems of the world. He controls the minds of the ideas of people, and they have given themselves over to the Bible says, to ungodliness. And so therefore he has a very firm grip and hold upon people because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this present world's leadership has always been the same. Now, every 4 years we vote for new leadership in the White House, but the same leadership in the world has always been there, and his name is the devil. His name is Satan. And he controls and he works. And here Paul says, "For Demas has forsaken me." He has left the work of God. He has left the entourage that Paul had and the men that he had there with him as they had gone and preached the gospel to the far corners of the world during the ministry of Paul. All of a sudden, Demas looks and the world attracts him and lures him out, and now he leaves Paul behind and goes his own way. Somebody said, "Well, was Demas a Christian?" Well, the Bible doesn't say anything that he wasn't. So that tells me that probably Demas just was overwhelmed by the influence of the leadership of the world. He was weak in his foundation, and he leaves Paul, and he thinks the world is going to be much better doing what he wants to do. I'm probably sure when I can say that all of us know people that would fall into the category of Demas. It doesn't mean they're lost. It doesn't mean they've never known the Lord. That may, some of them maybe haven't. But I believe I've known folks that got out of the will of God. And they did things that they should have done. They got out of church. They got out of the things of the Lord. They all of a sudden, what they used to desire to do, they don't want to even talk about it. They have been attracted and they have followed the ways of Demas, and the present world overtook them. Now, one or two things are going to happen. They're going to find out their need of the Lord, or they're going to find out their need of repentance, and the Lord will bring about judgment and chastisement upon them to bring them back, because I believe the Lord does that to His own people. He says that He chastens those whom He loves. And so this leadership of the present world that Demas lived in, it was the same leadership that's today. Even though some almost 2,000 years has gone by, it's still the same leader. He's still just as active. He's still just as forceful. He's just as conniving. He's just as detrimental to the work of God as he ever was. He may have a little more sway now because the world continually follows after him. But this leader is none other than the devil himself. It doesn't matter what leadership you put in office, there's always that corruption that comes up. It seems as though it doesn't matter how good a person is, when they start out somewhere, they are corrupted by the present world, and therefore the problems arise and we see the difficulties that we have. So he's a political leader. He's a religious leader. It's a religious leadership that we're talking about, because the Bible calls him a god, the god of this world, this present world. The scripture tells us there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse number 4, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So here, this leadership of this world, we find that it is not just a political thing that controls the minds of people in authority, but it's a religious leadership too, because he's the god of this world. And if you turn there in Corinthians 4:4, you'll find the word God is not a capital G, it's a small g. So therefore we know we're not talking about God of heaven, we're talking about the God of this world. And he is identified here by his actions, what he does. And of course, again, it's Satan. He's blinded the minds, and he's darkened the thought process of people. And the reason he does that, because if he doesn't, the glorious gospel will shine upon them and they'll be saved, and that's certainly what the devil works against and does not desire. So Demas has forsaken Paul. having loved this present world, this system. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says here, the devil taketh him, speaking of Christ, unto exceeding high mountain, and show him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith to him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See, the devil always desires to be worshipped. He desired that, I believe, in the days gone by when he was Lucifer in heaven, the morning star, the one that took care of the music of heaven, and the one that the book of Isaiah says he was perfect in all of his ways until iniquity was found in his heart. And then he says, I will. I think there's five or six times there that that Lucifer said, I will, there in heaven, I will ascend up above God. I will be God, and I will promote, and I will do it. It's all concerning himself. And so when Jesus came, and the devil now is tempting him for 40 days and 40 nights, and he is there actively against the Lord, and he takes him to a high mountain, and he said, Now, Jesus, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms and their glory. The devil is trying to give him something that wasn't even his. The Lord has the title deed. He's the one that owns it all. But the devil comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Well, all you got to do is read history, and there's been some glorious historical facts of great kingdoms of this world. The Egyptian kingdom was a glorious kingdom. I mean, they had their riches. And we still have many of the artifacts from that time frame, that era of time. You have the places where that folks can still see the effects of the Egyptian kingdom. And so the devil showed Jesus there upon that high mountain. He showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and he showed him the glory. And he said, you see, the devil, he was trying to work on the pride of the Lord. And by the way, the Lord did not have pride. But he was working on him, thinking he might be as same kind of creature as he was in days gone by, and very proudful. And he says, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me, the God of this world. I don't know if we really understand the significance of that verse of Scripture. And it ought to put a joy in our heart that Jesus made this statement. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only shalt thou serve. That's the answer that Jesus gave. And we better be glad tonight that Jesus did not succumb to the God of this world. We better be glad that the Lord was able to go past that and tell the devil, said, get thee hence. And he uses the word of God on him, said, it is written. Every time you find the devil trying to trick and tempt the Lord, you'll find that Jesus turns around and gives him the word of God, and at the word of God, the devil has to flee. And he tells him here, says, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. I believe when the Lord told Satan that, he said, you're the one that's supposed to be worshiping, not me worshiping you, but thou shalt worship the Lord. And only him shalt thou serve. I believe those words cut the heart of old Lucifer. You see, they knew each other. It wasn't no surprise who he was when he came to the garden to Jesus. Jesus knew who he was. They'd been together in eternity past. They had been together in all those things. Jesus had been there when Lucifer was one of the high archangels of heaven. And Jesus was there when he saw. And Jesus knew what he did and how he failed and how he sinned against the God of heaven. And so he turns around and said, you're the one that's supposed to be worshiping the Lord, not me worshiping you. Well, that's a tremendous statement that Jesus gave. You and I tonight are in the house of God. You and I tonight are on our way to heaven because the Lord said, I'll not worship you. He's the God of this world. He's a religious leader. He desires to be worshipped, and that's why he's going to do so well during the tribulation time, because he will be worshipped. And it's short-lived. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12 For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. And notice it says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we wrestle not flesh and blood. Our battle is not against each other. Our battle is against wickedness in high places. Our battle is a spiritual battle. Satan rules, and he rules hard. The Word of God tells us that we are to have God be our ruler and our leader, but Satan tries to usurp that authority, and he wants to be the God of all people. And so the Lord uses the term, Paul uses the term, he's the God of this world, having loved this present world. So we know that the influence of this world comes from the God of this world. And Demas was overtaken. Demas had a fault. He was sinful. So we find here that he is the one that Demas is going after, this world. This world has a God. This world has a leader. This world has a political, religious leader, and it's all culminating in the devil himself. And as we're reading in our Sunday school lesson in the book of the Revelation, and it's more interesting than it's ever been as we see the things taking place around us, we know that that the God of this world, he's going to have his limelight. He's going to have his day. He's going to have his period of time that's called tribulation time. But the last part of the story says that he's going to be cast in the lake of fire that burns forever and forever. And he's going to be chained and will be there till it's all over. He's there forever. So the God of this world has a long leash, but he's on a leash. And God lets him go just so far, and God pulls him back. But Demas was overtaken. Like so many Christians that we know, like so many that we've known down through the years, overtaken. Demas forsaken me, having loved this present world, because the God of this world had bothered him. So it's the leadership of the world has not changed. The loving of this world has never changed. The people have always loved the world. Folks, people have always desired. It's an alluring world. This world out here that we live in has its allurements. That's why John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things of that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world, this world. And so here we find that this world's love is always there. And Demas, having loved this present world, I guarantee you, his fall went into one of these three categories. It's either the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Now, every one of our sins, every one that has ever fallen to the entanglements of the world, it falls in one of those three things. It's either the eye gate, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, what we want, what we desire, or the pride of life, just in order to do more and have more and have all those things. The fruit of the tree of good knowledge was not bad in itself. It was good for, they saw it was good for food and knew it would make one wise. And the devil, that God of this world, he came to Eve and said, now, hath God said? Well, he knows that if you take of that, you're going to live forever. He said you're going to die, but I say you're going to live. Well, which one's the liar? We all die. Adam and Eve died. At that moment, they began to die, and the process took over in their body, and they began to decay. And so this world has an allurement, has a pull. We talk about the allurement that it has for teenagers and for young people, and it's there. But I'll tell you what, the allurement for adults is out there also. I mean, the world is present before us, and Demas wasn't some kid on the block. He wasn't some young guy. He'd been with Paul for some time, and now the world has overtaken him. And Paul, in his weeping statement, says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this world, this present world. Not only an alluring world, but it's an evil world. Galatians 4, or chapter 1, verse 4, tells us that Jesus gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Same world that Demas left Paul for. According to the will of God and of our Father. So we find that it's an evil world and it's a present. You say, well, I'm glad I won that battle yesterday. I'm telling you what, boy, I did all right. Well, you better watch out today because that world is still there. Well, I got through this one. Now this battle's over. I can relax a while. I can lay back and I can sort of enjoy things. You better watch out because tomorrow this present evil world is right there before you again. The devil never gives up. He never stops. He never ceases his attack upon the child of God. It's an evil world. It's an alluring world. And 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 tells us that it's a corrupt world, whereby it's given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. So that tells me the world is full of corruption. It's full of wickedness. It's full of ungodliness. It has a leader. It has a God. He's the devil. And you and I, as believers tonight, nowhere should we ever back off of our spiritual life and sort of dilly in the world, because it's a wicked place. It's an ungodly place. It's a place that will allure you, and it'll, you know what a lure is? You go fishing with a lure that gets those fish to come to your place and put their mouth on your hook. And that's what the devil does. He lures us, and he puts the bright lights before us. He puts the good times before us. But he never shows you the other side. He never shows you the problems that come. He never shows you the wrecked homes. He never shows you the defeated lives. And never shows you sometimes even the destruction of the flesh. Because he lures you. And this evil world is present before us. It's full of corruption. And we enter it by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. So, loving this present world is nothing new. When Paul wrote about Demas doing that, it wasn't nothing new. John Mark had a problem. And he left Paul and Barnabas, and he had a problem. Later on, John Mark is recovered, and he comes back, and even he's mentioned here in this verse. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable. Sometime from the time that Mark left Paul and Barnabas those many years before until now, John Mark had made things right and things were good. And now Paul says, it's good for me if he comes. But Demas has not said that about him. We don't find anything else about Demas. He is overtaken and he's engulfed by this present world. So the leadership of this present world has never changed. It's always been the devil. And it always will be. The loving of this present world has always been, it is now, and it will be. I think one of the problems that so many churches have gotten into recently and in days gone by is that we think we can keep up with the world. We can't build the buildings the world builds. Because a lot of them did that, and a lot of them went out of business because they could build it, but they couldn't buy it. We can't keep up with the world, so no need to try. And by the way, I don't think we ought to want to. I don't think we ought to desire to. That's a different world. That's that evil, wicked, ungodly place that the people live in. But we have a different view of things. And this world that is corrupt and evil, it will affect us. It will have an effect upon us because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, ooh, isn't that something? The pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says they have escaped the pollution of the world. Well, I'm glad when I got saved, God cleaned me up. Why did He have to clean me up? Because I was polluted. Why did He have to clean me up? Because I was dirty, I was filthy, I was ungodly, and thank the Lord, He cleaned me up from the inside, and By the way, that does affect the outside. If it happens on the inside, it will take care of many things on the outside. This world will pollute both the mind and the body, the morals, the life of an individual. So the loving of this present world has never changed. It's natural. Somebody said, I don't understand why people live the way they live. Because it's natural. Why does the animal do the way they do? Because that's their nature. Why does a person live the way they live in ungodliness and in the pollution and the corruption of the world? It's because it's their nature. But, thank God, it tells us here we can escape the pollutions of the world through Jesus Christ. And that's the only escape there is through Him. And then thirdly and lastly, the leading of this present world has never changed. This world will lead us along. The world system tonight, we say, boy, they sure hate God. And they do. But you know what? The world system is the one that takes credit for crucifying the Lord. The Roman Empire, they hated God. They hated the Lord. The Babylonian kingdom hated God. And all these things. And all these kingdoms have always been founded upon ungodliness. This world tonight hates God that we love. John tells us in John chapter 15, Jesus makes this statement, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It ought not surprise us that the world system doesn't like us. It ought not surprise us that we're not politically correct and everything. It ought not surprise us, say, look at us and say, we don't like you. We don't like what you stand for. You're archaic. You're just out of touch. Well, not to be surprised, because Jesus said, don't be surprised because it hated me before it hated you. And there are some people tonight that hate you to the point that they would do you harm if they could. So, oh, I don't believe that would ever happen. Well, you better get your head out of the sand and realize that this system that is under the control of the God of this world will do to us the same thing they did to the Lord if they can get by with it. Many examples. Just read about Mussolini. Read about Hitler. Read about other leaders during the Vietnam era of those leaders that were in control and how they hated. Read present tense right now today of those countries that harm and destroy and kill Christians because they love God. This world hates God, and this world has a course. It's on its course. Ephesians 2:2 says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That means this world has a way. The course of the world means it's got a particular way. Well, I'm glad tonight I'm out of the course of this world. Hopefully I'm in the course of the Lord, walking His way, serving Him. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There's that leader again. So if He's the prince of the power of the air, if He's the God of this world, and He has a course, you can be sure that His trail leads to destruction. His road leads downward. His road leads to hell. And we need to make sure that we walk in that course in times past, not time present. The world has a God. And the world hates the true God. The world has a course. The world has a philosophy. This world has a philosophy. It's amazing how the Scripture brings you all these things. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, we know what the world is, we know who the leader of the world is, and says, and not after Christ. See, there's two great systems. There is a battle of the ages that have gone on from the very beginning. And that's against the Lord and against the God of this world. And so here Paul tells us in the church, writing to the church of Colossae, he says, beware. Have your eyes open. Have your mind aware of what's around you, that you not be spoiled through philosophy. You ever talk to somebody that was philosophical? I mean, they can talk to you and they can give you the big words and they can give you all those things. Be careful. A lot of religions have their philosophy. I'll tell you what, we better stick to the blessed old book, the Word of God. The traditions of men are deceptive. Traditions of men are destructive. The rudiments or the ways of the world will bring destruction. The world has a love for wisdom that is not wisdom. The world has an allurement and a love for knowledge so-called, or science so-called. As I mentioned this morning, I think one of the great detriments in our generation is rejection of the creation, because without a creator, you have nothing. You have nothing. And you can't even... You can't even go to the store. You can't even buy a book for your child that doesn't have evolution and all that junk all the way through it. Thank God there are some places that still are working to make sure we have truth. And I think you ought to pray for them, because I believe that's very important. Now, we know that we are in the world, but we know we are not of the world. I have given, John 17:14, I have given them thy word, and the world hates them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them safe from evil. What is the evil? This present evil world. So the Lord was praying here in John 17. This is the portion of the Lord's prayer that's very important, that Jesus prayed for us. He said, I'm not praying that God take you out of the world. He said, I'm praying that the Father would keep you from the evil world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Here the Lord prays for the child of God and says, they're hated of the world. What good would it be if God took us all out of the world? Nothing. What good would it do the world? Nothing. Now we look forward to it. I tell people all the time, I'm looking more for my disappearance than I am His appearance. I want to leave this world. But we'll not leave until the Lord gets ready for us, either by the grave or by rapture. We are in this world. We are in the world, a system. But Jesus says here, we're not of the world. We are to use this world. It's here at our disposal. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, and they that use this world and not abusing, for the fashion of the world passeth away. Use what God gives us. This world out here has everything for all of us, and we as believers, we ought to take what God has in this world system for us also. And then the Scripture tells us in James chapter 4, verse 4, we are not to have friendship with this world. That maybe is what happened to Demas. He just had friendship with the world. I've known some folks, and you can watch them. They would begin to get away from the Lord. They began to have friends that was not of the, not Christians. They had their things that they would do, and all of a sudden they began to. You just didn't see them like you used to. You know what happened? All of a sudden, they're gone. James 4:4 says, "Know you not that the fellowship of the world is enmity with God?" Not to have fellowship. The word fellowship, we know what fellowship is. It means close communion. Fellowship together. Dealings with. And just in passing good times. So the Lord tells us to be careful, because there is a present world. It's present in every generation. Has the same leadership. Has the same one doing the same old thing over and over and over. And people do the same old thing. They get allured, they get attracted, and then they fall and falter. But I'm glad His mercy's enduring forever and forever. And we can come back to Him like John Mark did. John Mark was wrong. John Mark left them. And Paul said, I'll not have him be with me. He's not dependable. But over a period of time, John Mark made it right. Now Paul says, make sure John comes. Make sure Mark comes. John Mark. Make sure he is profitable to me now. Oh, I'm glad God can take the unprofitable and make them profitable. I'm glad God can take the useless and make us useful. I'm glad God can take the down and out and set our feet on solid rock. Give us hope in our life and a joy in our soul. Let's stand together tonight.